talks about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
Oh, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
And we are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Woo, sir. How you doing? How you doing? It was a 0-0 draw, back in style, the 0-0s against Leeds scum, Ellen Road. Hate those dirty Leeds, especially today. Played a dirty sock-a-bock-a match of old English football, but you know what? I don't know. 1 point. Title's gone.
What?
Sock'em, rock'em, sock'em, bop'em football, whatever.
Rock'em, sock'em robots, sir. You're a child of the 80s. You know how it is. Yeah, it was... This one kind of puzzled me a little bit. I think, you know, United or Ole, we went into it thinking it was going to be open. You know, like Leeds would come at us. We hit them on the counter. I think that's why James was involved. Similar, like when you play a City or, you know, the team should not be named on this podcast, you got to kind of set up like that. And then all of a sudden it turned into sort of like a lower grind them out Burnley, you know, lower EPL table to sort of pack them in match. And then we never really changed the cards. I think, you know, I was disappointed to see the Fred McTominay midfield, because when Leeds is packing it in, are Fred and McTominay going to be able to break him down? Obviously, they weren't. So first half stalemate. I think Dan James, a little rusty there. We haven't seen him in a while. And obviously the game didn't suit him because it was more of a break him down match. And I only took a little too long to switch it up. I think Pogba, Cavani... You need to get them in there at halftime if you're really looking to win. You know, maybe not halftime, but at least the 60th minute. And, you know, Ole likes to sit back. And by the time he changed it, we did look better, but too late.
No, totally. I think we all hear that. I think Ole expected what we saw at Old Trafford, where, like, Leeds just came out swinging, and it was about us kind of containing that and then breaking him down on the counter. They played us like, well said, like a Burnley. Like they were stuffing us in the box, everyone behind the ball, really hard to break down, fouling the shit out of us, but that's to be expected from a dirty lead side. And then you have, unfortunately, we know the pitfalls of this manager, and the manager, he's got one glaring thing that he does wrong, and that's he waits way too long to make subs. Today was a great example of that. The McFred combo with Dan James, we weren't countering. It wasn't like you were playing a City side. They were throwing bodies forward. I thought we looked very much in control with them on the defensive side. You know, we didn't let Leeds do much of nothing. But it was when we came to actually going to attack, it was super hard to break down space. There was no real space given by the Leeds side. So that's where you like to see a Pogba, a Dani, a Cavani, given his movement. And it was just a little bit too little too late.
I don't know how Eddie doesn't make that starting 11. You know, if you're really thinking about it, Manchester United, it's like you got to be winning this game. There's a chance, obviously, winning the league. I'm going to say like very outside chance, 1%, whatever you call it, whatever Vegas calls it. But Eddie starting with Rashford on the left, where he plays the best, with Luke Shaw and Greenwood on the right, who's been looking great, and Cavani and Greenwood together, their movement looks great. I just don't know how you put Cavani on the bench and you put Dan James in. That puzzles me a little bit. You think that it might be related to resting midweek? Sir, we had a week off. You play the player, play the best 11, then you play him again on Thursday. I think we're fine, right?
You know, that's what I thought when I saw the lineup at 5:30 a.m., sir. Bright and early, nice 6 a.m. West Coast kickoff. But I think it's because they expected Leeds to go balls to the wall attacking United, when in actuality, they packed the bus, like we've seen against so many lower sides this year, which has proved difficult. What we needed to see was, I don't have a problem starting Fred, starting Dan James. I have a problem not making subs until the 70th minute, 80th minute, 89th minute to bring on Donny Van de Beek for Fred. But that should be hit in the 65th minute, because the script hadn't changed in the second half. They were packing it in, sitting back, fouling the shit out of us, and you need a little bit of that magic to kind of cut them open, and that's what we needed. Saw a little bit more as the boys started, as the subs came on, but you needed the whole second half, you know, in my mind.
No, absolutely. And I thought it was one of those games where we like almost could steal a goal, but we just like lacked the quality. you know, there's a few moments in that match that could have made the difference for that 1-0 smash and grab. Obviously, it's a way, a draw against, lead scum at this point in the season with what we got on the agenda. We got the team that should not be named. We got Europa League midweek. We got a lot going on. So, like, the fact that we drew, no big deal. It was a tough match. We grinded out. I thought we played well. It was just sort of that attacking threat wasn't there as much as I would have liked to see for United. But again, it's one of those games where it's like, on to the next one. Roma at home. We got to, like, make our – so we can't be doing 0-0 against Roma at home. I'll tell you, right? So I need a different type of game out of United. I need a different starting 11 from Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. I expect some exciting football on Thursday night. European nights at home. Let's go. On to the next one, sir. That's what it's about.
What would Fergie say about a 0-0 first leg? That's not, at home, that's not the worst result. You know, you deprive them of an away goal. I know nobody wants it, but
what is that, 0-0? What do you want?
I'm just countering your comment. I think there is something to be said. Like, importance is to make sure they don't score an away goal. Obviously, I want to just rip them open 7-1, so like we did back in the day.
The importance is to play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. You play to win the game. You play to win it. You win the tie at home, 3 goals, clean sheet. Roma's done, and then everything gets easier.
Hey, easy peasy. There you go. I like the sound of that, sir. If you do that, then it's all about the weekend against team who should not be named, the Scouse Bastards, whatever you want to call them. But either way, this, the Roma game is like the biggest game of the season. You know, those two-legged tie, as it currently stands, second place is basically locked up unless we melt down. It's all about getting that trophy. Hands on some silverware this season. That has got to be the focus. After all the bullshit we've been through, all this Super League drama last week, it feels like a month. Right? It's unbelievable. This broke a week ago, and it feels like so much stuff has happened in the last 7 days. Here we are now. It's about eyes on the prize. I'd like, I wish we picked up 3 points today. I want us to win every game in the league, tighten that gap with City, even if it's just, so we're closer when they inevitably win it. But really, it's about getting our hands on some silverware, breaking that semifinal curse. It starts with Roma because, seventh in Serie A, so they shouldn't be underestimated. The seventh place teams, they can bite you when you're not expecting it.
Sir, our form in April, 5 wins, 1 draw. So look, you got to look at the last month. Obviously, we haven't finished it out. We got Rome, but, we're playing good football at the moment, and I really think that we need to be – a 0-0 at home against Roma. I really want to be making a statement in that match. Ole knows what it's like, when it comes down to it, like smashing maybe not quite smashing Europa League opponents, but in Europe at home, Old Trafford, special things happen. Let's make it happen. And against Roma, we have history. So, Carrick knows a thing or two about scoring a banger at OT against Roma, right?
He certainly does. I think Fletch also remembers some nice goals against Roma. So it's a big... It's a big opponent, It's a big opponent we have some history with. We have a pretty good record against them in Europe. Obviously, that was in the premier European trophy, which is the Super League. The Champions League. So it's going to be a fun game. You would love fans to be back at the stadium at this point, but, we're used to it at this point. The fans are used to not being able to go. The players are used to playing in an open, empty stadium. We're playing a little bit better in Old Trafford these days, so... It's a big match. It means a lot to Roma. It means a lot to us. We got to go do the job. And then on to the weekend, sir. The team that we love to beat. We're due for a beat up of that side. They are floundering, bro. Dropping points the last minute to Newcastle. Love to see it.
We need a big game. That's going to be another big one. So, sir, a lot of big fixtures for Manchester United right now. It's a great time to be a fan. And like you said, silverware on the table. I know who's excited for European nights. That's Hans and Franz, the DJs that give us that legendary theme music. Quick PSA for the podcast. We are the American Red Devils. We are for fans by fans at a time when independent fan content could not be more important. Ownership issues, Super League issues, sir. We're covering it all here, not pulling any punches on our ownership. I don't think we ever have. We've gone through the financials. We've let everyone know. It's always been hashtag Glazers out since the pod was started. The Glazers pulling $1 billion out. Has to be known. The protests, love to see it. We got to keep the pressure up on our terrible ownership. And, that's something where, I think in the past, a lot of criticisms come Mourinho and Ole. The manager's been taking the flack, and I'm glad the ownership is finally getting it because you look at how they've invested, how they've run this club, the leaky roof at Old Trafford. It's unacceptable. The fans need to hold them account just like we did in the late 2000s with that big green and gold movement. I hope when fans are back, we're going to be seeing those scars in the stadium once again. Great way to support us is on Patreon, sir. Visit our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We just posted our April Patreon exclusive podcast. We do one a month. We have a mailbag where you can ask any questions you want. You can sign up from four tiers, anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. It all goes to support the podcast and independent fan content. We do not have any sponsors on the pod. We want to be directly supported by you, the fans. Completely organic experience here at the American Red Devils. And big shout out to Adam Whistler, who just became a Patreon subscriber. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have some great fan-generated content there. The blogs have been hysterical about Ed Woodward, the Super League, etc. Also, click on store. Our merchandise has been flying off the shelves. All the Glazers Out merchandise that's been sitting in Alex's garage gathering dust is now leaving in droves. His wife is thrilled. He's making lots of trips to the post office, sir. You used to just put it in the mailbox, but now we have so many orders that you can't do that anymore.
So many orders, I don't want to get in trouble from the Postmaster General, so they're going to start knocking on my door saying, you can't put that many items in a mailbox. But appreciate all the fans who've been going to the store, buying Glazer Out merch. Like you said, those scars have been flying out the door. We might run out, sir, because they're so popular. And thankfully so. You know, I think the owners finally overreached. You know, they'd really been driving this club into the ground for 15 years, and then they show their hands of just how despicable they are by the Super League push. So supporting fan-generated content is so important these days. You talked about it. You can go to the website. You can check out our blog. You can buy merch. You could also write a fan review on iTunes. That goes a huge way to helping us get found organically, and you don't have to pay any money, and we're still doing a free sticker giveaway. So this is all you have to do. Write a 5-star review on iTunes. If it's cheeky, even better, and send a screenshot to AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we will get you some free Stanley Chow design stickers to your door, ASAP Rock, free of charge, sir. It's a great way to support the pod. What else we got?
Sir, that's it. Let's jump into it. Leeds Scum 0, Manchester United 0 at Elland Road, which we all know is full of shit. If you've heard the song, sir, the lineup, Dino, number one hat-wearing keeper in net, Shaw at left back, Maguire, Lindelof, center back pairing, Wan-Bissaka on the right, McTominay, Fred midfield, Rashford on the left, Bruno Fernandes in the hole, James on the right, Greenwood up top. I do think that switched around per the starting 11 we just read out. Sir, omissions, Cavani on the bench, Pogba on the bench. Those two, how did they not start for this game? That's my only question. I was very surprised not to see Cavani.
I mean, this is like when you're playing City side. You expect you're getting bodies thrown at you. It's a workman side, right? With the Fred McTominay mix. Obviously, you're not having Cavani, no Pogba, Dan James, counter. So that's what I thought when I saw it. I was like, okay, we're playing counterattack football. I get it. I also thought we were saving bodies for the week. Like the biggest game in the next 7 days is Roma at home because that matters more. Sir, I see you just shaking your head. Not liking a single word I'm saying, sir. I thought we expected one thing from Leeds, and we got a totally different thing. And, you know, shame on us to a certain extent by not switching up earlier. But at the end of the day, I have no problems how we went out because – based on the first time we played them, they went balls to the wall trying to score against us.
Sir, I'm going to say Cavani not starting in this game. It's like there's no reason that you can hide behind. The only reason Cavani, as far as I'm concerned, reading the tea leaves, sir,
play
the X-Files music, he's gone. He gone. That's the only reason why he ain't staying. Is like he ain't staying, and Ole knows that he's good. He knows that he might need to use it to win a game, but he needs to start getting a look at what his team is going to look like without Eddie Cavani in the summer. That is what I'm sure Murtaugh, the puppet from Ed Woodward's side, is really concerned about. Actually, he's probably not even watching the game. You know?
I certainly hope he is. That's a good point because Greenwood was playing up front, got a chance to kind of show what he's got at number nine, just straight up. Sir, that makes the assumption that we're going to lose Cavani and not even replace him, not even bother replacing him. But you know what? I believe it. I think it's going to be a really barren summer.
Sir, we have all summer to cover the doldrums. I mean, this could be a lot of pods, a lot of rants about the ownership. I have a feeling that because of no Super League, they're going to punish the fans even more with no signings. Who's in charge at Manchester United now that Ed Woodward has officially resigned? I guess Ed Woodward, but why does he doesn't care. So like a ship with no captain, sir. You know, at least we knew the Ed Woodward ship was going to go one direction, which was try to be in for all these big name players, get a lot of social media coverage, and then on the last day, sign Igalo.
I'm still waiting for Igalo to come back, sir. You're saying there's a chance he might come back again. I think, I mean, he's not going anywhere, right? The rumor is that he's not stepping down to the end of this calendar year. So if you think about it, maybe that's probably not enough time to pull off a sale. You know, I don't think they can make one happen in the next 8 months, but I would imagine it's like, let's steady the ship, get us in a position where, you know, you can get through the summer. But I think their focus
It's always the position of Edward and the Glazers is how can we make Mo money?
No, I
and
get that.
Take Mo money out of the club.
So they ain't buying nobody, bro. The year right before they sell the club, they're not buying nobody.
Sir, they aren't putting Mo money in the club. They got Tom Brady down in Tampa Bay. They're worried about him. They're giving him money. They ain't taking money out, sir. We shall see how it goes. But we got a match to break down, sir. You want to break down that first half against Leeds scum?
Sir, it was really riveting. United came out. They did come out on the front foot, but dirty Leeds made it difficult for us. Actually, it was Mason Greenwood in the second minute who had a really good early-headed chance, but he aims it right at the keeper. If it was a little bit more clinical, that could have been a good chance to get an early goal. Rashford got a really good chance in the seventh minute, couldn't quite get a hold of it, even after being found with a nice pass over the top. I think it was from our boy Lindelof. And then it was, on the other end, sort of the 19th minute, you shouted out. You thought it was a penalty. VAR looked at a Shaw handball. No penalty. I thought rightly so. There's no way he should be given that. His hand was on his side, but I guess it did hit his arm technically. But, sir, tell us your take.
Sir, my take is VAR is an absolute shambles, and they're going to screw us in every single way possible. So I thought that they were going to give us a pen here. So, you know, when this happens, you go worst case scenario, no pen. Ah, happy camper.
Happy camper indeed. If that was a pen, that would have been a little unfair, I would say, sir. You know,
from the Son foul in Tottenham, I don't trust anything VAR does. So when I see that they can make a shit call against us, I'm thinking they're going to do it. That's just how it is.
Sir, and they're not pulling punches because they're making shit calls against everybody. Like I was talking about it with you when we were watching this game, the West Ham Chelsea red card as a defender's clearing the ball and gets a red card. That's a new one. I've watched a lot of football. I've never seen that. VAR needs to be just scrapped like an absolute disaster class.
VAR's going down the, I think it was the NFL when like you didn't know what a catch was anymore.
Exactly.
You know, like it's like you thought replay is going to like help you. Then you realize replay is looking at everything in slow motion. In slow motion, it looks so much different. That's how a ball clearance can turn into a straight red, right? Whereas in a regular game, no one ever think about that. And then you're starting to ask yourself, well, what's a straight red? What's intention? Define intention. Get into the slow motion some more. Analyze it some more, and then by the time you analyze it so many times, you don't even know that you're watching a football match. And then that's why the referees are making all these bad calls. But like in NFL, it was like they didn't know what a catch was. And so I think VAR is going through this phase. We knew it would happen. Consistency is the issue. I think what happened in the NFL is instead of having them do it on site, they brought it to a central location like the NHL. So they basically there's like an office and they're making the calls, and that's how they can try to control consistency instead of separate officiating staffs at every single match, which is right now what they're doing. And you know the talent is thin. So by the time it gets to the VAR guy, I mean, he's like the Arlo White of announcers in the booth, you know? He's like the B team, and like he's just making these shit calls. And like how can you control it when it's so decentralized? They're going to go to a centralized model, I'm sure. That's the only way they can fix it.
I mean, they use the regular referees as the VAR referees. They just rotate. Like Mike Dean was the VAR referee today. You're so right. They just need like a central office that looks at all the VAR calls the whole game for the whole, you know, all the day's games and keep it like that, because it's lack of consistency that it's just like atrocious. And they are going down the NFL route where it's just like it's starting to ruin the game. Anyway, so we can talk about VAR all day. A little bit of a letdown in the middle of the first half. It kind of got a little cagey. Teams are like, you know, both teams were really packing in to a certain extent. We had a hard time breaking them down. 45th minute, Rashford had a good pop from a free kick, forced the keeper into a really good save. And then the ensuing corner, Slabhead had a free header, blasted over, sir. How many goals should Slabhead have this season?
His like XG has to be like 6.5, you know, 6.75. He should have like 7 or 8 goals, like hands down. I mean, like you remember Chris Smalling while I was at United, like always good for header goal. Like he's open like that. That's going in. You know, I have to question what's going on with Maguire's heading game. To be honest, he probably gets hit in the head so much that he probably doesn't practice them because it'd just be more brain damage. You know, he has quite the durability, but his header game is significantly off since he signed that deal with United. Like at Leicester, he was scoring these Here, he's not even getting them on target. I'm not going to blame McGuire, but that Rashford hit, that was a great free kick. Good save from the Leeds keeper. Was it Sid the Kid from the Toy Story?
It's true. He looks just like him.
Dude, we had our chance. He's like, you know, we had some chances to steal it. You know, Harry's due. That's all I got to say. Harry's due.
I don't even think we were kind of stealing it. All the chances you're going to call out in this game are United chances. So we were the dominant team. It was just Leeds made it difficult for us. They weren't exactly who we thought they would be. They played as a different Leeds side. All of a sudden, Bielsa wants to defend. That's a new one. So heading into the half, what were you thinking? What was Ole telling to the boys?
You got Pogba on the bench. You got Cavani on the bench. You need a goal. Hello. You play to win the game. That's what I'm telling Ole. Let's go.
Let's go. We didn't get any of that, sir. We came out in the second half. I thought United looked good enough, but it was more the same because you were playing against a Leeds side that was really packing it in, fouling the shit out of us, like we said. 49th minute, Greenwood played a great ball forward to Bruno and James, but Dan James kind of got like awkwardly in the way of it, took a bad touch, and then all of a sudden they had this chance that arguably should have just been Bruno one-on-one with the keeper. You'd think a goal, but you saw Bruno taking out on Dan James. He was not happy with what he saw.
Yeah, I don't like that from Bruno. I mean, clearly Dan James, the young player, what are you doing, dude? I like, you know, it's like, get out of the way, do less, you know, like let Bruno, you know. But Bruno, he gets mad at our players, and I get that. That's like the Iberian Peninsula passion that's never going away. But you got to feel for James there. He definitely muffed it, got in the way, whatever you want to call it, chance of the game. And, you know, Bruno had another really good one that he scuffed in the 56. So, you know, it's one of those where, hey, Bruno, you got to yell at James on that one. You got to score that one, you know, because nobody was yelling at Bruno when he didn't score that. You know, I love Bruno. He's untouchable. So fans here are going to revolt. But he does do the angry at his own players on the pitch like a little too much, you know.
He gets fired up at his players for better or for worse. It's who Bruno is. But like you said, 56th minute, if you're going to be chewing out your teammates, you got to at least hit the target. Great chance after a nice ball in from AWB. He's got to be testing the keeper. You know, the same with the McGuire header. He doesn't have to score, but he has to get it on target. He has to challenge. You know, you have to make the keeper force him into do something.
This is it. I mean, this chance, this on a plate for Bruno on his right foot. This got to be like threatening the keeper. Miss it like softer than soft serve ice cream, my man, in a hot day.
He sliced it. He sliced it like I do on the when I'm trying to hit a golf ball, sir. The second half, it wasn't that exciting.
Sir, real quick, if you ever played golf with Alex, this guy, you know how some guys might need to go get like a box of balls? This guy needs like a bin. He's just like, sir, you're this guy playing golf.
Top player.
Know, I would say if you know, he would have hit it into our own goal if he was you playing golf. So, you know, not quite.
There you go. And what's the rule? Like if the ball goes behind you or if you don't clear the ladies' tees, you got to take your pants off or something. But I'd be doing a lot of that. It wouldn't be good.
We're not golfers.
Football fans. 62nd minute. James actually had a good chance in the box. Doesn't really connect well, sir. And then this less than the second half is pretty sad. 76th minute. Finally get a sub. Pogba for James. Arguably should happen 15 minutes earlier. Cavani comes on for Rashford. Finally, you know, Rashford looked good at spells, but it was a hard team to break down. Lots of fouls. And then 89th minute, Donny van de Beek for Fred. Another sub that could have come 30 minutes earlier. And that's been, dude, the ref was so tired with it, he literally blew the whistle early. He's like, 20 seconds early, this game sucks. Call it a day. 0-0, that's all she wrote.
Look, man, it's a point. We're in second place. You know, Ole, I don't mind this result as long as we show up Thursday. You know, you start tinkering, you start not playing Cavani, not playing Pogba. Okay, we better see the best United side we got on Thursday. So that's kind of where Thursday is really the no excuses play like a champion game. This game is kind of like the, okay, I rotate because you got Roma, then you got the Scouse bastards. I kind of get what you're doing there, but no excuses. Thursday, Cavani, Greenwood, Rashford, Bruno, Pogba, let's go, sir. Manchester United, attack, attack, attack. Match stats, Leeds United, 45% of the ball, Manchester United 55%. Shots on target, Leeds 3 to Manchester United 4. Sir, foul, Leeds 21 fouls. They're kind of like getting like that City tactical foul to R11. I felt like you could see the frustration in the second half, United fouling more and more and more. Match reactions, Manchester United have drawn more Premier League games 0-0 than any other side this season with 7, sir. We have watched 7 nil matches. That's a lot of football. That's hours of my life. I went back from Manchester United. That's why hashtag Glazers out. That's why they got invested in this side. Jadon Sancho would have saved us from at least three of those nil nils.
Tell you what, Haaland, he doesn't like nil nils. He'd be scoring goals for us.
Manchester United are beating their last 24 Premier League away games. I mean, huge stat. But what do we know, sir? Let's check in with the manager, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
No guarantees in football, that's for sure. Well, I thought we played well. I thought we played really well, especially second half. I thought we dominated, didn't really give any chances away, just didn't have the ball to fall correctly for us second half in the chances, the big moments we had. We had some decent chances, but unfortunately we couldn't take them.
Did you feel that perhaps Leeds weren't at their best today and it was 2 points dropped?
You know, when two teams meet, there's you create problems, you solve problems, the opposition gives you things to think about, and I think also we made them adjust to us, and we have to adjust to them because they are a unique team. But I thought we did that really well. It's just you cannot. We put a really big shift down, and they worked hard. And second half, I've seen Leeds so many times run over teams second half, and I thought it was quite the opposite second half for us.
How much did they stifle your creativity? You know how they man mark.
No, they are good at it. And of course, it's a chance for every player to work his one against one himself. And I thought up until the last 18 meters or yards, that's where it stopped. The quality or the decision let us down just in the last moment.
Of course, that means you win.
So there you go, Ole, Mr. Nice Guy. Leeds, you know, I don't know why the announcer, the reporter is saying Leeds were not their best, so we should have won. I think they played a different game than we've all often seen from the Leeds side. So that was new. I thought it'd be a wide open football match. Ended up being 0-0. But let's move past the Leeds side, sir. Done with the Leeds scum. Wish they were being relegated. Unfortunately, they're not. They're sticking around the Premier League for a little longer.
We shall see. Checking in with the table, Manchester City. Sorry, I pronounced that wrong. Manchester City, 77 points from 33 matches. Manchester United, 67 points from 33 matches. You also know that I think it was Ardwick FC was what City was known as. Then we changed our name to Manchester United. Then they changed their name to Manchester City. So they've always been copying us. They're a copycat. They want our history. They can't buy it, sir. Unfortunately, they did beat Tottenham in the EFL Cup. I just checked that score live.
They beat them?
Beat them 1-0. Glad the bottlers are bottling.
1-0?
Glad the bottlers are bottling the bottles. Tottenham loses another cup final, sir. City, they can have the Carabao Cup all they want. They're Carabao Cup champions. Might as well name it their cup. Who cares about that?
The Etihad Cup at this point. They do love an EFL Cup, sir. I'll tell you what. Spurs, keep waiting for that silverware, bud. Keep waiting. They're waiting for that Super League. They want it. Give it to us.
Third place, Leicester, 69. Sir, we're comfortable. 8 points on them. Then Chelsea scum, 58. So, again, we have 9 on Chelsea. West Ham, they were done dirty by VAR. You mentioned it, 55 points. So, that big Chelsea win over West Ham, that's the difference that's going to make Chelsea kind of leapfrog them. And then the Scouse Bastards, 54. Sir, dreaded form. And they play us next. Tottenham, 53, Everton 52. I could go down the list. We are 99% chance to qualify for Champions League per 538.com. Man City is 99% to lock the league. So when I said 2 or 3% that we could win the league, it's really one, less than one. So what does this mean for United? This Leeds result? Not much. We're still bang on to qualify for Champions League. Second place, we got it locked up unless we absolutely just melt down. So, you know, it's really all about Europa League. We're all in on getting that silverware, that trophy for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. As a Manchester United fan, it's a final. It's going to be a big final. It's going to be a big trophy for this manager, and you hope that this is a catalyst for things to come. Europa League for Ole will mean more than it did for Jose.
No, it will, because he already had a piece of silverware to hang his hat on. If you asked him, he had two. He called the Community Shield a piece of silverware, which is a laugh. But either way, this is a big deal.
He won Energy Cup. He won the Energy Cup as well.
No, I said the EFL Cup and the and the Community Shield headed into the Europa League final. Okay. Is what I was trying to say. This means more too, because it's like Ole had to do it the hard way, man. You know, given like the lack of signings and who he's competed against, and obviously this is Europa League, it's not Champions League, but this is going to be a big piece of silverware if we can raise it. It means a lot to the lads, players that haven't won anything yet at United. So we got to go on the Roma game, sir. It is a big, big match because, you know, there was something about the 11 that made me think, I got to think Pogba's being saved for the midweek. Same with Cavani. It's all about Roma.
Look, it's going to be a big match. It's at home, sir. It's, you know, it's Europa League. Hans and Franz, drop that beat.
So the song of the summer is here.
Let's go. Manchester United versus Roma, European Knights, Old Trafford. First leg of the semifinal. I don't care, sir, if it's Europa League. It's a semifinal. It's at Old Trafford. It's under the lights. Thursday, April 29th, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. Lifetime versus Roma. We've seen a few fixtures. Four games won, one game drawn, one game lost. First match we ever played, we lost in April 2007, 2-1. And then we came back in April that same year and hit them 7-1. Everyone remembers that. The Ronaldo double, the Carrick banger, sir. Alan Smith hitting a goal, sir. Everyone was scoring. You and me would have scored in that side. That is one of the greatest moments at Old Trafford. That scoreline, that match, sir. If I'm ever feeling down, I go to YouTube. I type in that match. I watch the highlights. I instantly feel better.
That was a hell of a year. I think we ended up getting done dirty by AC Milan in the next leg, right? I think Kaká just like splitting defenders open. But hey, that Roma game was a fun one. Michael Carrick just scoring bangers for fun.
Heading into this match, Roma is, you know, they're on a bit of a slide. Right now, they're losing to Cagliari 3-2. It's in the 89th minute, so a loss there. Before that, Atlanta, they drew. Torino, they lost. Ajax, they drew in the Champions League. They didn't even beat them to get out. And then they beat Bologna. So forms all over the place. They're seventh in La Liga, sir. They ship a lot of goals. 51 goals against this season. We should be beating Roma. We should be scoring a lot of goals. We should attack them, sir. Go for their throat.
There you go, sir. That, you know, the more I listen to it, the more I like it.
I mean, if we win the trophy, it's going to be sweet, sir. You know, it's the banger. It's the hit of the summer. Just so anyone knows, Cagliari, they are 17th, and Roma's currently losing to them. They might be resting a lot of players. I don't have the starting 11 in front of me, unless I try to pull it up here. But, you know, they're on a slide, sir. They didn't even – I watched the highlights from – the Ajax game to get kind of a feel for it. They didn't look too dangerous.
No, they didn't look great. Apparently, like the first one, they should have lost by a considerable margin. Kind of got done in with some bad goals, maybe some bad rulings as well. But they're going to be a tough side. You know, Italian team, they have a lot to play for because they want a piece of silverware just as much as we do. So they're going to come out to play. They're going to play cheeky. They're going to play defensively. And they got a couple ex-Manchester United players in their side. Where are you, Henrik Mkhitaryan, our midfield Armenian? I remember loving that song, especially in our run-up to winning the Europa League. He scored some big goals in that run-up. Chris, the milkman, Smalling. We talk about Chris a lot. He's playing for Roma. I think he's injured at the moment. Who else they got?
No, he's playing right now in the game. He did get subbed. Mkhitaryan got subbed in. There is no essentially, Dzeko did not get used. So a little bit of rest for Roma here. And Chris Smalling, I think the news was his house got broken into. He got held to gunpoint, had to sort of unlock his safe, give the robbers all the valuables. you know, the classic kind of stick him up thing, terrible for Chris Smalling. You know, I always rated Chris Smalling, the milkman. Everyone knows the story here at the American Red Devils, listening to the podcast. So, you know, shout out to him and his family. Terrible to go through that, but glad he's back in the game. I hope to see him feature at Old Trafford again. You know, who knows if he's going to make it.
No, I totally agree. I mean, Smalling and Jones were famously bought, I think, in very similar time period by Fergie. Jones was always the one to ship in my mind. You know, Smalling had the mental gas, but he was much more durable, played a lot more games, scored the winner against City at the Etihad when they were trying to win silverware in front of us. So, yeah, it's sad about him getting broken into. That's horrible. Guns out in front of his kids. So that's awful. I think something similar happened to Di Maria, didn't it? I don't think we were there. He was home, but he got robbed as well in Manchester. So it happens everywhere.
Yeah, start hiring security. You know, I don't know. It's kind of a crazy phenomenon in world football. And, you know, like hearing that happen to Smalling, that's got to be traumatic. So wish him the best. A little history on Roma. Associazione Sportiva Roma, commonly referred to as Roma, is an Italian football club based in Rome, sir. Founded by a merger in 1927, Roma has participated in the top tier of Italian football for all of their existence, except for 51-52. Sir, 1927, little history facts for you. The first transatlantic telephone call is made via radio from New York City to London, United Kingdom, sir. That's pretty crazy. First transatlantic telephone call. Before that, what were they doing? Morse code?
Probably.
Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, you got that. Keep beeping, bro.
Beep, 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 beep. That's how we got the results. The American Red Devils in 1927, we got the results like beep, 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 beep. That's how we figured it out. The Harlem Globetrotters also played their first ever road game in Hinckley, Illinois, sir. Sounds like you're a Harlem Globetrotters fan.
It was top of the list for news. I thought that was kind of interesting. I was like, London's mentioned, Harlem Globetrotters. People have heard of them.
Beep, 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 beep. Roma have won Serie A three times, 41-42, 82-83, and 2000-2001, as well as winning 9 Coppa Italia titles and 2 Super Coppa Italia titles. No idea what that is. In European competition, Roma won the Intercities Fairs Cup in 60-61 and were runners-up in the 83-84 European Cup and in the 90-91 UEFA Cup. Sir, strong periods, early 80s, early 2000s, kind of when we saw them in the Champions League, and, you know, obviously haven't since. And since 1953, Roma have played their home matches at Stadio Olimpico, a venue which they share with rivals Lazio, with a capacity of over 72,000, is the second largest of its kind in Italy, with only the San Siro being bigger. The club's home colors are carmine red and golden yellow, which gives Roma their nickname, the Il Gilarossi, the yellow and reds. I, Gilarossi, sir, I'm butchering that. And their club badge features a she-wolf, an allusion to the myth and the founding of Rome, sir. Was it Remus and Romulus?
Yeah, I was trying to think of the two names. I was trying to think of it. Was it Remus and Romulus? What's the whole thing? It's like kind of an allude to the Giants or sharing the stadium with the Jets. It's not really rivals, but what? Inter and AC do it. They share San Siro. And now you have Roma and Lazio also sharing a stadium. That's kind of wild.
It's like an Italian thing. You know, that's the first thing. I didn't know Lazio played in Rome. That's pretty badass. So we'll have to catch a game next time we go over there for some pizza pie. Give it the physio room. Phil Jones cashing those checks. Martial, he's done for the season, playing for France. English press gave him no chance, sir. Maybe that's why he got injured. I don't know. What's your lineup? Those are the injuries. We're healthy, strong United side. Got to beat Roma at home.
Got to beat Roma. This is a big match. I'm going to go with Dave Saves the Net, world number two. He's always up for a Europa League match. I'm doing a back four, AWB, Lindelof, Maguire, and Shaw. Switching it up, Matic, Donny van de Beek, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Cavani. Let's tear them open, pass it between the lines. They're going to be there to the take, and we just have to go for it. Who you got?
Sir, Dave Saves. He's still the world number one non-hat-wearing goalkeeper. Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, Fred, Matic, Pogba, Bruno, Rashford, Cavani. You got to have Pogba in there. You got to have Cavani in there. I think Matic is the man to run the game. We saw him play well his last game out, passing between the lines, Fred doing the dirty work. I think we need more of that combination. And then obviously, I think Donny is that impact sub they could bring on for a Fred or a Modric, because Modric can move back to CDM. I think there's some opportunity for different subs there. I rate that lineup, sir. It'll be interesting what midfield he plays. I agree. That's the unknown. Who is he going to play in the middle of the park? Who is he going to have to do that job? I hope Pogba gets pushed a little forward. Booking the bookies, United heavy favorites, minus 180. The draw plus 330. Roma to win plus 470. I mean, this is just like Roma is probably the lowest ranked team in the competition. We should be smoking them, and I hope we see that come Thursday. Given those are the bookies' odds, what is your score prediction for Manchester United Roma at Old Trafford, first leg of the semifinal?
Sir, I think it's going to be a 2-0 win. You know, I think it's going to be a tight game for most of it. United go ahead, and then maybe we get another one at the very end. But, you know, it's going to be a typical boxing match, sir. It's going to be hotly contested. They're going to want to come out, defend well, make it difficult for us. I think they're going to know what people like to do against this United side, which is pack them in. So I'm expecting that. How about yourself? What are you calling?
Sir, I'm calling it conservative. I'm going to do 1-0. I'm going to say we steal a one, and it's going to be nervy going in the second leg. I just have a feeling that there's no way we're going to finish him. We're not going to put him to the sword. We don't have that ruthlessness. So we don't have that 7-1 in us. You know, we're going to go to Stadio Olimpico, like a little nervy. I just have a feeling the second leg is not going to be done and dusted. I would love for it to be 4-1. Big score line. I'm saying that just to be conservative, hoping the lads prove me wrong.
I hope so too, sir. I want to talk up. Can we talk about Hendo's hat for a second? Just while we're doing it, sir. The only memories I have of football goalies wearing hats was like, I think, I don't remember which team it was we used to play. It was like a gimme team. I think it might have been Wigan.
Wigan?
Like the goalie always wore a hat. And it, like my memory is like only low teams wear a hat. Yeah, that's not a look.
You know, it's like if my son, first of all, my son doesn't, you don't play goalie. That's just the number one rule. You're not a goalie, you know, because, you know, America has too many goalies, too many people using their hands here. But it's like if you would play basketball, he's going to do sports specs. No, you do contacts. I'm not letting you look like a lunatic out there. You don't do the hat. It's just not a thing. First of all, the Manchester United merch is so bad. The hats look bad, you know, so they could have like a cool looking goalkeeper hat. I mean, even the check with the padded head thing, that's cool. I get that. The Rooney headband, I'm all for that. But the hat with the brim, like from the like superstore?
That's a bad look.
And then switching up the colors, sometimes it's red, was this camo green. It's just like Ed Woodward style, like on the pitch. It's like, no way. You got to – sir, it reminds me of the hat from the Sandlot. You know, it's just like, you got a fireplace? Yeah, burn that hat. Like, it ain't a hat. Like, get rid of it. That's how I think about Dino's hat.
There you go, sir. I had to ask.
Coming in hot. United in the news, sir. Big news. Super League. Super done. Protests, Glazers out, everything. I feel like the news is the match today. I mean, holy smokes. We got a lot of news. We're going to start out with the Super League fallout. Manchester United fans break into Carrington training ground in anti-Glazers protest. You love to see this, sir. The Manchester United fans passionately protesting at Carrington. I think this is just like showing the players, showing the club. They blocked the entrance to Carrington. Chelsea blocked the entrance for the team bus at their match. I thought this was great. Fans come on. They had the banners, Glazers out. They broke in to Carrington. They let them on the field, or somehow they got on the field. It seemed like it was a friendly affair. They let them do their thing. Socially distanced. They watched from a distance. Ole was rumored to say, hey, our chairman loves the club. I don't know where that comes from. But either way, Ole's reaction to it I thought was right. He did say, you know, we respect the fans' voice. He didn't say, hey, all fans come to Carrington and protest, but he did say we left it cordially. It sounded like they let them do their thing. Sound like Ole didn't like shout at them and like freak out and call security and have them dragged out. I thought it was kind of like actually respectfully done to all parties involved. And you know what? The Glazers aren't at the training ground. Ole runs the training ground and he let it happen. And I thought it was actually a respectful event. So good on the fans and good on Ole. Just let them have their time. Let them speak their voice. Glazers are in Tampa Bay. You know, fuck them.
Fuck them. That's right. Absolutely right, sir. We should let them know it until they're actually out of this club. I don't think Solskjaer said that Joel Glazer loves this club, bro. He loves what this club does to his bank account, how much cash he's contributed, how much cash he's going to get when they actually sell it. But I think that was like popped in by ESPN. Either way, they did handle it well. I'm glad to see it. Fans are in full voice. This was just the beginning of the storm. That storm is here. That is going nowhere. And it carried into yesterday, so we'll get into that in a second. But Carrick, Fletcher, and Matic, of all people, handling it well, talking to the fans. Dude, they hear it. They know this club is poorly run. They know this club is underinvested. They know this club is owned by leeches. So poor Ole is put really in a tough position, right? Like, how do you defend these people? Like, he can't, you know? How do you defend the actions that they've done? You can't, but he's the manager. He's the face. He's got to do what he's got to do.
And you have to think that there's, I bet you the Glazers are tricky where there's some non-disparagement in a contract where if they actually came out and spoke out, they could lose their money. Definitely. Or void their contract. I would have to imagine that they're making so much money that you probably got to buy the balls in some way, shape, or form here as well. So, you know, this big protest was around, you know, United broke. We did the emergency pod. Then they wrote the like a smidge of a statement that was taken like basically we're not in the Super League, dot, dot, dot. That's it. Then Joel Glazer was like, oh, other teams are apologizing. We need to apologize. He writes this like apology. Sir, I mean, like, I didn't even read, like, it's not even worth reading. He tries to say, oh, we care about the fans, yada, yada, yada. You know, it's like, talk is cheap, motherfucker. Talk is cheap, motherfucker.
Rest in peace, baby. Rest in peace, like, DMX. Talk
is cheap, bro. It's like, actions, invest money, open your checkbook, fix Old Trafford. It, like, actually have an honest dialogue with the fans. Like, you stabbed us in the back. I mean, come on, man. You never had trust with the fans. You ain't going to get it back. You know how we feel here at the American Red Devils. Hashtag Glazers out.
It was basically like an apology without apologizing, right? It was like, I don't know. They didn't really say, I'm sorry. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have been treating this club this way. It was real, like, what you expect from Joel Glazer. Hasn't put his name on anything. Hasn't talked to the fans in 16 years. And now he's like, oh, we hear you. We were working with fans. It's like, get out of here, bro. Walk on.
Then, you know, latest Super League update. We're like, I don't even want to go into these updates because it's just like, I hate the Super League, sir. I just want to focus on the season, but Perez is basically the greatest troll in European football. The moron who forgot Tottenham was in the league. Now won't give up on the league. He's all in, even though everyone's out. You know, he's like the guy at the party when everyone's leaving, like, no, man, we're staying. It's going to be a rager. Me and Barry, we're going to keep this thing going.
We're going to 5 a.m., bro.
Party's over. Get the memo. Like, get on out. It's like, you know, Perez is just going with it. He says that they can't leave. They said they signed a binding contract. There's clearly a breakup fee of some sort. I mean, this is going to be I think the best part about all this is all the details are going to come out in the press.
And they're leaking out already, but you love to see it. It's like the teams that folded early have the financial ability to fold early, right? Chelsea and City were first for a reason. And you think about who owns them, that's part of the reason. And then you have like, right, okay, then what's it called? Fenway Sports Group, they're next. Then United can't let Liverpool leave without us. And who's the last mofo holding the bag, bro? It's like Perez, like the most desperate man of them all. Doesn't own the club. Literally, he's like indebted the shit out of Real Madrid to the point of 900 million. And his only option, how do I appease these bloodthirsty Real Madrid fans, is big money, right? Big money signings this summer, financed via the Super League. It's great to watch him just still like tap dancing his way off a cliff because literally he's got nothing and he's like, you can't leave.
It's going to be great to see it all melt down. I do think there is going to be, there's some resistance, you know, like it's kind of like in the Star Wars movies, you know, when they kind of, they blow up the Death Star and there's some like resistance that builds. So we got to be vigilant as fans. We can't let this come back. We got to kill it. And I hope Regulation England does that. Another point we got to talk about is the Ed Woodward spin zone, the last Ed Woodward special, him getting sacked. And then like all of a sudden, like, reports are saying Ed Woodward's leaving the club because he did not like the Super League. Like, I mean, bro, like, are you serious? The financing came from JP Morgan Chase. Ed Woodward worked at JP Morgan Chase when he did the deal with the devil and he got the job at Old Trafford in the first place. Ed Woodward has been photoed at all the dinners with all the clubs and all the meetings doing the Super League. Ed Woodward's leaving United to go join the Super League, dude. Like, he's literally leaving his post because he's, like, literally going to be the head of the Super League. He's going to be involved big time. Him and Allegri at Juventus, they were all in together. They were the chief puppeteers. Ed Woodward lying to save his ass because he knows that he ain't going to be able to get no job after this. Like, he's the biggest failure. He's a joke. All he did was take a paycheck, ruin a football club, and make the Glazers rich. And what does that get you? Doesn't get you anything, sir. I mean, like, Woodward has millions of dollars. Zero integrity. He's not hireable, and he's a fucking liar, and we all know it. That's complete bullshit. Neil Ashton, spin zone. Why do they even try?
No,
like,
I own it. I thought that was like made, and you know, it made Sky broke that story. It made them look embarrassed. Then Gary Lineker was like, "I know this is true." Gary Lineker, go sell some fucking potato chips. That's what he does. When you get the B-Rag Connect, bro, you see him like selling hawking potato chips on Sky Sports. What do you think we are, stupid? What do you think we're stupid? It's honestly, it's like an embarrassment to be like, yeah, he stepped down because he was opposed to the Super League. Like, fuck you, bro. Don't lie to me. You've been lying to me for 15 years. Do not do that. Don't be like, he did it out of like principle. The man has no principles. That was probably the story that, like, once the thing died, that pissed me off the most was that they were trying to be like, no, he's like, he was against it the whole time. Like, that was, that's hilarious if you think about it.
The money came from J.P. Morgan. You can't get, sir.
He was at the meetings. He was at La Conda Verde in New York with Henry, with Glazer, with Allegri, and then there was a fifth guy.
And that's why the number one character assassination that the UEFA president did was Ed Woodward. He didn't talk about the Glazers. He talked about Woodward. Because he knows he's a ringleader, bro. They went after them. This is all going to come out behind the scenes. He's a complete liar. Liar and a cheat, sir. Liar and cheat. Ed Woodward, don't let the door hit you on the way out. I love it. I'm looking at my clown Sack Woodward sticker on my water bottle right now. Just gives me a smile every time I see it. That stupid mug. Get the fuck out of my club.
Dude, he's a numpty. He's been a terrible CEO forever. He got so much credit for like whoring out this beautiful brand, like noodle companies and tire companies. They acted like he was some kind of marketing genius. He's just a fucking banker, bro. That helped a greedy, awful family buy one of the most storied football clubs in the world and drive it into the ground. Team viewer, bro, are you serious? It's like, get out of here. Like, he stepped down out of principle. The man has no principles.
Sir, I'll tell you what. You know, we could start a new podcast talking smack on Ed Woodward.
So we're going to follow wherever he goes.
Super League fallout continues. Angry United fans protest, chant F off Glazers outside Old Trafford. Sir, big protest. I don't know, comparing it to Arsenal, you know, obviously some breathtaking images. I don't know. I think Arsenal had us in the numbers. If you actually saw the zoom out, obviously when they show you the zoom in and all the smoke, everybody looks really cool. But I think Arsenal had us. Obviously, London, probably easier to get there. Also, to do it when we're not playing, you know, it was kind of interesting as well. But, you know, again, love to see it from United fans. A lot of passion there. You know, we need to keep it up. Keep up the pressure, sir. I mean, like, but I think the best pressure is to, like, come up with some chants, wear green and gold, and then when we're back in the stadium, to chant that we hate our owners. And I think do that for years to come until they sell. I think this has to be more than just one protest. It has to be a movement, and it has to be something that we continue to focus on. I honestly think voicing our opinions in the stadium about how bad they are is probably the best way to go, because this could be a long haul.
It is going to be a long haul. It's not going to be done quickly, even though we'll talk about the story, the next one, in a second. It's going to be a long haul. Hopefully there is no division in Manchester United fans around this. It's just like, we all agree these owners are terrible. They're holding us back. They're doing worse. They're driving us into the ground. So let's just all be on the same page about that. You know, we might not all be Ole in, but we should all be Glazer out.
Totally. And then, like, you know, some crazy guy got invited to the party, like in high school. Someone always goes a little too far. Someone burned the American flag. Which is like getting a little like, you know, who invited that guy? You know, you're kind of like at that moment where you're like, who invited that guy? Obviously doesn't speak for everyone. You know, but the whole idea that you need to hate America are like Americans, like, you know, the American Red Devils, don't despise the Glazers, who are just like, it could be anyone, sir. It could be anyone from any billionaire anywhere who's just greedy and hungry. Maybe we have a lot of greedy billionaires in America, so I get that line. But, you know, it's just one of those where I don't like to see that, but I'm going to chalk it up to just one kind of like the guy in the high school party that breaks the fish tank or something, you know, just because he couldn't handle his shit.
Yeah, like pisses in the closet or punches the hole in the wall. Exactly, the guy who overdoes it. Yeah, it's a bad luck.
So I actually recall you punching a hole in my wall in my basement.
Go. Why do you think I brought it up?
Yeah. Yeah, when we were like 17. What a time. What a time. Yeah, so yeah. You know, it's one of those guys. One of those loose cannons.
Yeah, you know, not everyone can hold their alcohol, sir. Dark ales have a way on people.
Next bit of news here. Manchester United price tag set at £4 billion, per the Irish Mirror. It's via Bloomberg, sir. The Glazers are rumored to want to sell it, but, you know, you're trying to buy a used car that's beat up. Hasn't had its oil changed in like 10 years. Sir, the roof has a hole in it, so when you drive the car, it leaks. You know, it's like, and they want a Ferrari price for a jalopy. What do you think?
We ain't no jalopy, but they think that they are selling the club they bought. Like, they think that they are selling the, you know, the top brand in global football. And unfortunately, because of performance and the way we've been run, especially in the last 8 years, like, we ain't who we used to be, bro. For better or for worse, we can come back to it. But, like, we're not at the peak. We're not 6 years off winning the fucking treble. So this is Glazer all day. You know, it's like they want to get the most money possible. $5.5 million. So they ain't getting nowhere near that. They ain't. No way.
You know, here's the thing about the sale. They are rumored to be sale before COVID. COVID hit. That's going to make the sale take longer. It's not their intention to sell. The Glazers want to sell, and they want to sell for a lot of money because each Glazer child gets $500 million, basically, when at the end of the day. And, you know, their dad owned the club. I mean, they view this as like their trust fund. They want the money. They're motivated sellers. They're old. They're in their 60s. Sir, I mean, like, when are they going to cash in? They're the kids. It's like the kids selling the estate. They want the money. So they're motivated sellers. The problem is, are there motivated buyers? And an asset like this, there's only a short list of people that can buy it. Talking about Mackenzie Bezos, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, nation states like Saudi Arabia, princes, etc. How many people are realistically on this list, and how bad do they want Manchester United? Because like I said, when you're buying a car, you're buying a car that needs maintenance. This team needs $1 billion in on players. This team needs $1 billion into the stadium. So you're buying a $3 to $4 billion asset, and you need to invest billions into it. How many people can seriously do that when you get to those levels, those numbers? Because that is what it would take to fix Manchester United, to fix Old Trafford, to bring us to the fourth European trophy, the 21st title, the 22nd title, the 23rd title. It will take billions. Who has billions upon billions? And the list is short. So, you know, if you know someone, put them in touch.
Call the Glazers. I don't even know who's representing the actual sale and the sell side. But, you know, you have to put together a buyer's list, sir, when you sell a company. Right? That's one of the things you do. You put together who are the potential people that could buy this company. But in this case, it's a football club. Like you said, it's not a very long list. Nation states, a handful of billionaires across the U.S., Europe, and Asia. A conglomerate, maybe like a array of investors, the impact of 50+1, if that ever goes through, which probably won't, but it might, that would have an impact as well, because they probably want to get a sale done before that, if you think about it, right? Maximize the return. So I think they're going to be in a little bit of a rush. Like, the fact that the price is now clearly out, even when we knew this club was on the block through inside sources that they were very much looking for a sale. Sir, now it's on front page news, baby. There's like one team was rumored, okay, this is the last straw, we're going to shop a club. It was United. If it wasn't Arsenal, it was United.
So they don't got nobody. They don't got nobody. If you're doing M&A, it's all behind closed doors. It's all private contacts. You know the banker who knows the people who can help you get it sold. And it's like, you don't need to print nothing to sell nothing, like, at this level. And then when you're printing articles and you're dropping things, you're looking for people, and that's not good. And that means for fans like us, we got to keep the pressure on, because this is going to be – I think it's just a – we've always said, even before the Super League, I said they are over – in 5 years, Manchester United will be sold. I would say in my background in M&A, it would be 2 to 3 because you're going to have COVID end, cash flows going, team making money, and then someone will see the upside of it. And until then, the Glazers are holding the bill and we're stuck with them and they're going to give us a shit ass summer. So get ready for it. Hashtag Glazers out. Get your green and gold scarves. AmericanRedDevils.com. $9.99. Sir, keep Alex busy in the warehouse.
Sir, I'm working overtime. We're ordering more scarves. I'm running to the post office, you know, just dropping off all this ARD gear. They're like, what the hell is that? But you also have this, you know, it's an interesting point you make. You're right. Like if they got a hot asset, you're not going out and telling everybody how much you're worth because you just get it taken care of in private. What you might also see is like they have this delusional thought about what they actually could sell the club for. Like they've run it well and they've left it in a better position than where they came in. They ain't getting no $5.5 billion. And maybe that's also going to make it take longer, sir. They might get an offer for 3.
Like Eddie tries to buy players, which is like exactly. Shit. Exactly. They just realize they're just incompetent. They're, you know, their dad was the guy who was the make a deal guy. They're just sitting on their laurels. They don't got nothing. They're morons. Just like they hired Ed Woodward to run the club. They're morons, right? That shows them what type of owners they are. Is they actually thought Eddie should stay, you know, of all the things in the world, you know, like that whole shit show and all the lying and all that crap. But, you know, let's remind fans, there's a lot of 50+1 going on out there. That would have to go through the regulators in England. I think the UK would technically have to buy the shares from the Glazers, right? So it'd be like taxpayer money to buy the stake to then give to the fans. It would be very complicated. That's pretty much like not going to happen. And then the whole idea that Glazers could sell some of it is also false because of their Class B stock. Their Class B stock holds all voting rights, essentially. If there's one share of Class B stock outstanding, that they own 67% of the voting rights, which means they own any change of control, say. There's 120 million Class B shares outstanding. There's about 40 million Class A shares. Class A shares have pretty much no voting rights compared to Class B. The Glazers got the club by the fucking balls, man. They're not going to leave until someone pays a big check. And so let's all help Mackenzie Bezos turn her eyes towards Manchester and all the charity that she can do with this club.
Think about all the soft power you could wield via Manchester United, right? It's like unbelievable. I got my fingers crossed, sir. There was so much news with the Super League fallout. You really hit on a good one. And this one, you know, is true, bro, because we know these fucking owners. And they're like, they tried to talk Eddie Woodward out of not resigning, which I believe all day. All day, I believe they're like, no, you got it. You can still do it.
I think the shame is too much for Ed Woodward, honestly. Failed Super League, failed this club. I failed them a long time ago. And like the reason why you have to know the failure, we covered it over a year ago, is like literally he fucked up big time. He like when you're running a company and you run cash goes low, like you got to be thinking about running out of money, especially when you're levered to the gills. And then COVID hit at the worst time. The balance sheet, the way Ed Woodward ran the business, he was the running the show, dude. I'm calling him CEO. He was in charge of the business. He's the basically guy running the asset for the Glazers. And he had to call them and say, we're in trouble. And you know what the trouble was? If they didn't make top four and we didn't beat Leicester on the last day of the season, we would have been in serious financial straits. I think we still are. That's why the Super League is happening. The long-term solution to the debt is not here for Manchester United. And team viewers showing that the asset is going down. They're sweating it. And Ed Woody was like, yo, I fucked up. Super League fucked up. I'm out. At least Eddie has like a smidge of morals and then just lies about it afterwards. He saw his exit though. He saw his exit. Like, how do I get out of here without like the fans coming after me? And the answer is resign on that day and then just go hang out in Abu Dhabi forever.
I don't know who's going to give him a job, but he shouldn't touch football world at any time soon. He's left his mark.
He ain't getting one of the American Red Devils. I'll tell you that much, sir. Next bit of news, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, you want to hit this one? Cavani may be leaving. I didn't see this quote, so you want to jump in?
Yeah, I mean, he's basically hinting at it. This is Manchester United Evening News that like it's looking more and more unlikely. He talked about it, not him not starting today, but Cavani will likely leave this summer. He says, quote, we're still in the same boat with Edison in that he's not 100% decided on his future. He's not told me he wants to leave, but I'm very aware he might be going back home to South America with a difficult year he has had. And if that's his decision, I'll understand that. So they're more of the same. He loves the club. He want, you know, a tough decision, but it sounds like
it's like, you know, if you want to break up with me, I understand that's your decision, but I really, 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 really like you and would love for you not to break up with me, please.
Yeah, basically.
That is pretty much as good as gone. Good as gone. That's a plea through the press. That's like, we're going to praise you through the press, Cavani, to stay.
You're in a tough spot. You're in a tough spot.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Sir, him going, that's one domino. And then the Bruno contract news where Bruno won't sign long term if Pogba doesn't sign. What do you make of that?
I think it's horseshit. You know, I think it's like the Sun picking up on that. I think it's more vis-a-vis like if United is not competitive in transfers, a la Pogba, if we're not like showing intent, I might leave. I'm not going to stay around. Kind of like what Wayne Rooney was like, yo, you let fucking Tevez go. You sold Ronaldo. Like, what's the deal? Who are we buying? And there is a certain argument to be said. It's like he's not going to waste his best footballing years at United if it's not a serious club about, you know, achieving big things. So I don't think it's like directly tied to Pogba, but I think Bruno knows how important he is. I don't think he went this far. I think Son is maybe the Son's reaching like they do. But I could see Mara in the fact that like he wants to be at a club competitive. And if we have another barren summer, bro, he's going to be like, what the fuck?
Well, the Super League didn't happen, so shit. We're out of luck, my man. Look, that's it for the news. Jumping into fan questions. Thank you for all the hot banter, all the tweets, and everything. And the Glazers out. Keep that going, guys. At Jamal Mota, sirs, I moved back west to NorCal and got to say, waking up before 6 a.m. before a 0-0 barn burner is getting old quickly. But happy for the point. As our eyes clearly set on Roma this week, always get the Glazers the F out of our club. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. Hashtag Glazers out. You love to see that.
You love to see it. It's absolutely right. It was tough getting up that early, but hey, that's part of the part and parcel of being a Manchester United fan in the United States, especially on the West Coast. So, hey, it could be 4 a.m. I could have been waking up at 3:30 to get over to your house, sir.
Sir, I'm not going to whinge about getting up early. I love this club. Nil-nil or not, let's go. Just drink coffee, sir. Just drink more coffee. At BryGuy666, I'm usually hard on the lads. That's true. BryGuy here, usually hard on the lads. He says, I'll take the point. We have a pretty solid position in second, so it's not the end of the world. Would have been nice to get another one over on Leeds come, but just wasn't ours today. On to the next match. Hashtag Glazers out. BryGuy, usually with the salty takes, right down the middle.
You can't fault the take. I think it's a good take because, you know what? We were very much in control of this game. You know, we should have probably made a little bit more of our chances, created a little bit more, made the subs a little earlier. But, dude, you can't win them all. The title's gone. Let's just lick our wounds and focus on the midweek. That is huge. That is what it's all about, Europa League.
At Rolling Deep 1995, sucks not to get the W over Leeds scums, but we got bigger fish to fry. Our defense generally did a good job, but our attack struggled a little bit. We'll do the double over them next season. Hashtag glory, glory, Man United. At Trey Bolt, Bloat J, quote, keep or sell De Gea?
I mean, I don't know. Because if you have Lee Grant's leaving, that was kind of like a story that also broke last couple of days. Is like, we were going to give him a new one-deal contract. We're not going to give him a one-deal contract. So if you lose Grant and Romero and De Gea, then you just have Dino. And if Dino goes through a tough spell, then you're fucked. So I don't know. And I don't know who's running this team at the moment. John Murtaugh. Good luck to him. But I think if you have Romero leaving, you probably don't want to sell De Gea right away unless you have another like keeper that's ready to compete for it. So, it looks like we're going to be from having a glut of keepers to having just one keeper. So.
Totally, totally. No, it's who's running the club at the moment? That's a great question. And one thing on Murtaugh, apparently his job's on the line right now because that was like an Eddie Woodward special, and no one really agrees with that move because Murtaugh was just a yes man to Woodward, which makes sense. That's why Nicky Butt got pushed out. And Murtaugh being a yes man gets the director of football role. Then Eddie resigns. It doesn't make sense. If you're the CEO of a company and you just promote within some guy that really no one's ever heard of, and then you're out. That doesn't make sense. Murtaugh's like a promotion like Eddie's staying. You know, like him setting this up is like that whole idea he was leaving anyway. You know, that was only if the Super League took off, bro. That's BS. Now Murtaugh, rightfully so. Who's this guy?
Who's this guy? He's like one of the numpkins that was brought in when David Moyes sacked everybody. You mean like the whole team that Fergie had built up over 27 years that was like your foundation? He literally fired everybody, and John Murtaugh was one of the guys that was brought along with David Moyes' tactical genius. So that's who he is. If he was appointed by Ed Woodward, that's a bad sign.
No, but apparently everyone's like without Eddie there, now he doesn't have the backing, and so we shall see what happens. But that's a good question. We're like, who's running this club? And so that's a great question. And keep or sell De Gea with everyone leaving. You got to convince Romero to stay. I would sell then sell De Gea. Who wants De Gea? That's another question. How's Eddie going to how are they going to sell this club? How are they going to sell De Gea?
It's going to be a long summer.
Sell De Gea. That's all I got to say.
It's going to be a long summer, buddy.
At Briquette Mets, unfortunate result, but we're the only team trying to win the game. Bielsa approaching the game cautiously shows how far United have come since the last time we played Leeds. AWB to finally get an England call-up. All eyes on Thursday now. Totally agree, Mike. At Man United, DYL. This is a great one, sir. You'll love this. Quote, why does Lee Dixon say that Wan-Bissaka going to ground means he's a poor football player? Absolutely insane take. That's what NBC Sports telling you. Because he tackles people.
Like one of the... Well, he's one of the best tacklers in the league. Like one of the best tacklers statistically of the last 2-3 seasons.
Like he's making the tackle come back. Like he brought the tackle back.
Dude, like I love watching him tackle. Like you never see an opposing player ever argue with a Wan-Bissaka tackle because they're clean as shit. Lee Dixon's an idiot. Lee Dixon, he's more of a player than Graham Lasso. Graham Lasso is like a nobody, bro. Like the epitome of a nobody. At least Lee Dixon played for a strong Arsenal side, but he just hates United because we took away all their thunder. Like we ended the Invincibles. We actually won a European trophy. We won 3 in a row twice. Lee Dixon, he's just salty crab apples, bro.
All day. At Dave Paz, a game of little quality, but I have to say Aaron Wan-Bissaka was excellent today. My man of the match. I mean, shout out AWB, right? You have United fans saying man of the match. Lee Dixon saying he's a bad player. Get out of here. They're absolutely delusional. At JDW300, absolutely cannot leave subs that late. Those three subs should have been on 65th, 70th minute, probably earlier. We could have had so many chances with him on the pitch. On to Roma. At United Dondo, quote, James was so disappointed today. Subs made too late when the game was screaming for something new. Leeds look afraid to attack. I actually do think there's a narrative there. Leeds being afraid of us and trying to defend. So, you know, good on Ole. Good on the lads, sir. That is the podcast. Another epic podcast for Leeds Scum Super League. The drama at Old Trafford, sir. It's impossible not to cover everything. It's been a whirlwind of a week. Let's hope that this week's a little more relaxed.
I certainly hope so. Can't be as crazy as last week was, sir, but join our Patreon. If you haven't already, you can just listen to our new April mailbag podcast, which is going to drop today, sir. We do it every month for the Patreon members. It goes a long way to support the pod, keeping the lights on. Hope we have a nice relaxing week of thumping Roma. 7-1. How about that? 7-1 at home.
Absolutely. Check out our website, www.americanreddevils.com. Click on store. Get your Glazers Out merch, sir. It's always been on sale. $9.99 for the Avram Glazer clown nose shirt. It's a riot. $9.99 for the green and gold scarf. Keep Alex busy in the warehouse. He's having a laugh on the other side of this Skype call.
So I got orders to do after the pod.
So we're getting orders during the pod. You love to see it. Look, you're supporting independent fan content, and we're holding our ownership to account. That is what it's all about. Drop a review on iTunes. Sir, we had some top 10 cities last 7 days.
Let's hear it, baby. Number one, how you doing? How you doing? Nashville, Tennessee. Appreciate you sending a lot of green gold scarves to Tennessee. So appreciate everybody out there. Dublin, Ireland. How you doing? How you doing? New York, New York. Chicago, Illinois. West Sacramento, California. San Diego, California. California. London,
California.
UK. Mush mouth. Houston, Texas. Marshfield, Wisconsin. And last but not least, Erslev, Denmark, sir. Those fighting Danes having a lot of dark ale, some Christmas beers as well. Appreciate all you, sir. Appreciate all the America Devils listening week in, week out. Hell of a pod.
Sir, Freddy's getting popular in Denmark. Those are the Freddy fans coming on. AC Milan. We said it. We were watching the match. Too bad we're not playing AC Milan in the Super League. We have Freddy on more.
I'm going to say we played AC Milan like 4 times a year.
Dude, what a week. What a time to be alive. What a time to be a Manchester United fan. Silverware on the horizon, sir. As always,
kicking a blue.